Romans chapter number 6. We have read multiple times the first 14 verses. Last week we began with verse number 15, so we'll pick up there this morning, Romans 6, verse number 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ryan, would you pray for us? Amen. Be seated. So, you know, we came to a breaking point, you know, there where there's some a shift and some concluding thought there. What then shall we sin because you're not under the law but under grace? And Paul says, God forbid. And we talked about some of those things last week. We want to pick up in verse number 17 with, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. So this morning, the title of our message, the 17th verse, is, but God be thanked. You know, the fact that you love God, the fact that you love His Word, that you love His people, that you pray for your enemies, that you hate sin, you know, these are evidences of the work of God in you. This that Paul's saying here, but God be thanked, is part of that thought there. The fact that the seed of God, as we've looked at in these past days, has been implanted within you, that you're born again, that you walk in newness of life, that you are a new creature, the Scripture says, that you've been created in righteousness, the Scripture says, in true holiness. You only have one reason. There's only one reason for that, and that is God. But God had mercy upon you. But God's grace has been shown unto you. But God shed His love abroad in your hearts. So, therefore, Paul says, being in this condition, that we are to yield our members as servants, instruments rather, of righteousness. We could say servants of righteousness, but we have God to thank. You know, our hearts ought to be thankful unto God for what God has done for us, because there's no telling what type of son I could be, what type of son-in-law I could be, what type of husband I could be, what type of father I could be, brother I could be, in relation to those some of you that are here. God is to be thanked that we were the servants of sin, it says here, but that we are no longer. So our hearts ought to be overflowing this morning with thankfulness unto God for what God has done for us. Here we've been given all this doctrine that we've been looking at in chapter 6, chapter 5, chapters previous to this one. Doctrine is something that is to be obeyed. It's not just to be heard, not just to be listened unto. We talked about this before. Truth is to be followed, not just acquired. So hopefully we're not just truth acquirers, We're not just acquiring these different truths that we see in Scripture. It's one thing to hear. It's another thing to obey. And that's in this verse of Scripture too. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart. It's a willful obedience. It's not a begrudging obedience. It's something that we desire to do, not just something that's our duty, you know, to do. It's something that's in our hearts. If we are His, we belong to the Lord. So the Christian does not only listen unto truth. He's not just a hearer of the Word of God, but he's to be a doer, you know, also. He seeks to walk in the truth that he hears. If we hear something from week to week that we think, I'm not walking in that like I ought to be. I mean, just think about what we talked about this morning, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, I know that I could do more, you know, in that regard. I know that I'm not loving you as completely as I could, as one day I completely, ultimately, you know, shall. So we desire to walk in the truth that we hear. The Word of God truly is a light, you know, unto the pathway that we're walking, unto our feet where we're stepping. You know, we're examining these things in light of the truth of God's Word, and it's a light unto our path. Why is it that? Why do we desire it to be that? Why is that in our heart? It's because it's what God has done within us, because of the power of God that's at work, you know, in us. It's the opposite of Paul asking that question, saying, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead unto sin continue any longer therein? So this, that's our heart's desire, to do God's will, to follow God, you know, wherever he would lead us to go, whatever his will would be for us in our lives. That's the opposite of let us sin that grace may abound. So why is that? God be thanked, the old man is dead. That's what was once, you know, ruling and reigning, and sin was ruling and reigning in our lives, and we are now walking in newness of life. Again, we have none other to thank but God. We've not saved ourselves. We didn't do this. We didn't bring ourselves to a saving knowledge of Christ. We didn't bring ourselves to possess a new heart. We didn't bring ourselves to love the Lord our God. God's to be thanked. We love him because he first loved us. We know the Scripture tells us that. So we've done nothing, could do nothing to save ourselves as far as our works are concerned, though there's a lot of people out there this morning that are seeking to do such a thing. They're seeking to save themselves by what they do instead of by what Christ has done. We see God to be thanked for our salvation because of what he has done for us, because of what Christ has done for us. Except he had loved us, we would not love him. You would listen to these things this morning and you'd reject them. You'd walk away unchanged by them. You would have no desire to continue in them, to do them. So God is to be thanked for our salvation. Or yet we would be dead in our trespasses and in our sins. God's the reason we're no longer slaves to sin if we're in Christ. He's the reason for that. And Paul's plain about telling us this. God is to be thanked. You once were a willing participant in sin. You once enjoyed sin. You once were ready, you know, for sin. Let's go do this. Yeah, that sounds great. Doesn't matter whether it's against the law of God or not. You were ready and a willing participant of sin. Now that you've been changed, you are a ready and willing participant of righteousness. The whole makeup of your life has been completely changed. That this one thing's been unplugged. This one power has been unplugged. This power of sin in your life has been unplugged. And God has plugged you into righteousness by his Spirit, unto holiness and a desire to please and honor and glorify him. All that's been done to change you from a sinner into, you know, a saint, to desire to do what is right instead of desire to do what's wrong. God has done this. God is to be thanked for this. You desire to walk in the way that is right and do the things that God has called you into because of God's grace. Where would we be apart from God's grace? What would we be apart from God's grace? What will we be because of God's grace? We'll be conformed in the image of Christ, right? when we hear passages of Scripture like Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, you know, that's something that we desire, you know, to do. We ask the Lord, Lord, help us to be able to do this. We were preached a message there at the Shepherd's Conference about love towards our wives and our families, and you examine yourself, say, Lord, okay, is this that I'm doing? Should I be doing this? Or show me something else that I ought to be doing? Am I not doing things the way that I ought to be doing them to glorify you in my marriage and relationship to my family? But think about what's been done for us. God is to be thanked. As you go on and you read the rest of that passage, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, it says in verse number 26 that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's the power of Christ, you know, at work in us. This is what Christ is doing in us. This is what the Spirit of God is doing, you know, within us, working all these things towards this end. What? That we might be presented as the bride of Christ, that we might be presented a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing. This is the end. That which he's begun in us, he's going to complete, the Scripture says. And this power in us, verse number 18, talks about being then made free from sin. We've been unplugged from that part of our lives. We are now become the servants of righteousness. And there's another power that's at work in our lives. There's only two powers. There's a power of darkness. There's a power of evil. There's a power of sin. There's a power of righteousness. There's a power of holiness. There's a power of godliness. And you're in one kingdom, as we said this morning already, or the other. You're plugged into one, or you're plugged into the other. If you're plugged in here over in the kingdom of darkness, you have this conscience that more than likely is troubling you. You're under the judgment and the condemnation of God, and except you bow before Christ and you cry out for mercy and you repent of your sins and turn from them and turn unto him, turn unto Christ, you're never going to be over here in the kingdom of light. You're going to remain in the kingdom of darkness, and you're going to die in condemnation and die in your sins, and you're going to go to hell as a result. But there's that power, you know, that's the power of darkness, and then there's this power of the kingdom of God's dear Son. You know, we've been translated, the Scripture says, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So there's only two powers. There's not more than, and you can't be in both places at once. You're in one or you are in, you know, the other. We've been made free from sin, and we've become the servants of righteousness. We are really, in essence, enslaved to righteousness. We willing participants, you know, we were the willing participants of sin. We said that. Now we are the willing participants of righteousness. Where we once loved sin, loved darkness, now we love light and we love righteousness and holiness. It's a couple of pictures that I wanted to try to paint, if I could, in regards to this, besides the analogy of there's this one power and the other power, the power of darkness, power of light, you know, we're plugged into one or the other. Think about in Exodus 21, you know, the servant he served his time and he's now able to go free. And he says unto his master that he doesn't want to leave. He loves his master. And he puts his ear, you know, to the doorpost. You remember that, and it says that it all is put through his ear, and he belongs to his master forever. You know, he doesn't want to be free. I mean, that's us. We, you know, before we didn't want to be free from sin. You know, we loved sin, hated righteousness. Now we're free from sin, and we love righteousness, and we hate sin, and we don't ever want to go back to that former life. We want to remain here. We love our master. We want to serve him. We're a willing servant. You know, I willingly bound myself to that woman nearly 30 years ago, and I would do it again today. I love my wife. I love being married to her. And that's, you know, those are a couple of pictures, you know, that we try to paint to see where we are as a Christian in relationship to Christ. We love the Lord. We love being in his service. We love belonging unto him. We love serving him. We want to please him. We want to honor him. We want to adore him. You know, this is the power, you know, of Christ, you know, in us. This is the life of the believer. This is his service. He has willingly bound himself to the Lord. He loves his master and would stay in his service forever. We long for the day when we'll be free from this flesh and we'll be free from this world of sin, this corrupt world that we live in, and we're in the presence of the Lord forevermore. We long for that. We yearn for that. We love our master. We love our Lord. We want to love him, as we said this morning, with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. You know, that is what we're called to do. So what power is dominating, in your life? I'm not saying even though you're over here in the kingdom of light, that there's not still, we've said this multiple times. I've been saying it over and over again, in fact, but it's not that we're never tempted to sin. It's not that we never fall into sin, because we yet do, but we don't love that. After you've committed that sin that promised so much and said there's going to be great pleasure in this and you're going to enjoy this so much, you find yourself in the end saying it was not worth it, the way that I feel. I've displeased my Lord. I don't want to live that. I don't want to ever do that again. And yet we find ourselves, because of the flesh, and because the flesh is still plugged into the things of this life in a sense, but we're to rule over that, the scripture says. We're to keep our body under subjection. It's not to dominate. It's not to rule us. We are to rule, over it. But how we live our lives, that really proclaims whose servants we are. Who do you belong unto? How do you live your life? That tells. It's really telling. You shall know them by their fruits, right? That's what the scripture says. Well, it's really telling by what you do to what kingdom, you belong. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy..." God's to be thanked. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins," or dead in sins, "hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." So born in Adam, but we've been raised in newness of life in Christ. And we've been given a new heart that is willingly obedient. You are willfully doing those things under the kingdom of darkness. When you lived there, you're willingly committing those sins. Now we are willingly committing acts of righteousness. We have a willing, obedient heart to God. We didn't sing it this morning, but we could sing, "Come and reign over us." We want the Lord to reign over us. We want God to reign in our lives. We want God to rule in our lives, in every area of our lives. We don't want any part to be independent from him. Some people hear the truth, and it makes no difference to them whatsoever. You got the wayside soil, the seed, that was sown there, and it was just plucked up and gone in one ear and out the other. It makes no difference whatsoever. You've got other people that it does get into their heads. It does, in a sense, kind of take root there, but it's kind of a stony place. There's no root that goes down into the heart. It's just in the thoughts. It's the only place that it is. It doesn't exist anywhere else. Then you got other people that are moved by emotions, and they get emotional about things, and they hear the truth, and it affects the emotions. But being moved to tears does not necessarily bring about conversion. Here we're talking about components. We're talking about the mind. We're talking about the emotions, the affections, but what we're told here is that from the heart, the center, the whole person, everything about you, the center of your affections, the center of everything that there is about you, the Christian hears the truth and it affects the whole man. It affects the whole person. It goes to the heart, soul, mind, and strength. In other words, like we were talking about this morning, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with the heart, soul, mind, and strength. So you can't be converted just in your mind only. I've got a book on my shelf. I haven't read it yet, but the title of it, I'm assuming this is probably what it's talking about, but it says the title of it is More Than Notion. More than just a notion in your thoughts. More than just making a mental assent that, yes, there was a person named Jesus Christ that lived, and he did die upon a cross. I believe that even, in a sense, in the mind, I'm not talking about true belief, but saying a sinner's prayer, in other words, it's all in the mind. That in and of itself doesn't necessitate conversion. It's only in the mind. It doesn't go any deeper than the mind. If it's in the whole person, if it's a willing obedience from the heart, you know, that's different. That's what Paul's talking about here. This is something that God has done within us, or else we might just have a mental assent. It might just be a notion unto us. It might just be that we come to church because it's the right thing to do, or because that's what I was raised doing, and that's what you're supposed to do. That certainly has fallen out of vogue, I guess. I don't know. Maybe the kids today, their parents didn't take them to church, but you can't be converted in your mind or your affections only. It's the whole person, the whole person. You know, there are some very nice people in the world. Not everybody's an axe murderer that we meet. But just because a person's nice, just because a person may be somewhat kind for whatever, you know, motivation they have for doing that, do they live unto God? You know, are they just doing these things because it's the quote-unquote right thing to do just in their thoughts? That's not conversion. You know, there's more to it than that. Do we live unto God? Can we say with Paul, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain? I mean, can those people say to die is gain? I mean, we can see, as we said before, we talked about this, we can see beyond the grave. We can see beyond our lives now. We can see our existence in heaven. You know, you, our parents, are getting older. There's going to come a day, if the Lord doesn't take us first before he takes y'all, that you're no longer going to be here. But, you know, we can see beyond the grave. Because your faith and your hope and your trust is in Christ, you know, we know that we will see you again, because our faith and our hope and our trust, you know, is in Christ. We can see beyond the grave. The unbeliever can't see that. But these people have a form of godliness. You know, we see some kind people, as it were, very nice people, as it were, in the world. They have a form of godliness. They trust in something. They trust in what they're doing. You know, that's what their trust is in. It's not in Christ. You know, our trust, if it's not in Christ, it's in something else. And if it's in something else, you know, then it's not in what it ought to be. You know, the friend that you have, their trust is not in Christ. Their trust is misplaced. They have no Savior. They have no sacrifice for their sins. It's a sad thing. They have a form of godliness. You know, they go through, you saw a part of their services. You know, they have a form of worship. But it's just a form. It's not true worship. They have no approach. How can they have any approach to God outside of Christ? They have no approach to God. So they have a form of godliness, kind of like the rich young ruler. I've done all these things from my youth. You know, I've worked, I've done this, I've done that. But they lack loving God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. They have some part, but they do not have the whole. If we do not have Christ, we don't have anything. If we have Christ, we have everything. Like Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. 2 Corinthians 4:1 says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. That's the way the world walks. Not handling the word of God deceitfully. That's what the world does. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You know, that's what we're seeking to do. We're seeking to be a light, and we're trying to show people and to reveal unto people, you know, this is the truth. You know, it's Christ and Christ alone. Your faith must be in Christ, or you have no salvation. There is salvation in no other name given, you know, other under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved, except in Christ and Christ alone. But verse 3 goes on to say, but if our gospel be hid, here we seek to tell people these things. We seek to preach the gospel unto every creature. But if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost. Again, this touches upon this thing of Paul saying, God be thanked. You know, why did you see? Why did you hear? Why did you obey? If our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, or we would never would have seen him as our Savior. We would never would have seen him as the hope that we have in God. But like we said, we're either a slave of sin and Satan, mastered by evil, or we are a slave of righteousness and serve God from the heart. You know, there were some people in the Lord's day, during his ministry, when he walked upon the earth, that they claimed to serve God. And listen what he says to them in John 8:44. He says, you are of your father the devil. And he said, the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You know, these were people that had a form of godliness. These were people that thought they served God that the Lord was speaking unto. And he said, you are of your father, the devil. John tells us in 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness, this is really what we're coming down to, isn't it? He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Even as he is righteous, that is God. God is righteous. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, destroying the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Again, we understand this does not mean that we are incapable of committing sin. What it's saying is we're no longer plugged into the kingdom of darkness. That was our life. That's no longer the case. We're living unto God now. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. That's the seed of God that God has put within us as the reason for this life that we have in Christ. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. That's exactly what we desire as a Christian, to walk in his righteousness, because we are of God. And the children of the devil are those that walk in darkness. But he says that in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So it comes down to the end, you know, as we think about these things, just looking at these two verses this morning, who do we serve? You know, do we willingly serve God from the heart? You know, that's because God is to be thanked that this work, you know, of redemption's been done within us, because the work of regeneration's been done within us. You know, who do we serve? You know, our deeds really tell, you know, what kingdom we belong unto. If it is not God by faith in Jesus Christ, then we really, there's no other camp. There's only two. We belong unto the enemy, and his will we're doing. You know, people don't like to think about it in those terms, but that's what they're doing. I mean, if they're in the kingdom of darkness, they're fulfilling the desires of the devil. Whereas over here is the kingdom of light. We're fulfilling the desires, you know, of God. So we belong unto one or the other. We're plugged into the kingdom of darkness. We're plugged into the kingdom of light. You know, we love sin or we love righteousness. We love evil or we love, you know, God, and we love holiness. One of the two. And whichever kingdom, that's, you're going to do the will, you know, the one who's over that kingdom, whichever that may be, works of darkness or works of light and righteousness. Well, amen. God be thanked that we were the servants of sin, but we have obeyed because of the grace of God. We have obeyed from the heart because of this new heart that God has given, that form of doctrine, the doctrine that's been given unto us. We've obeyed it from the heart which was delivered unto us. Being then free from sin, he says, we have become the servants of righteousness. Slaves of righteousness really is what that word has to do with there. I'm bound unto it. I'm a slave unto it, a willing slave, a willing servant unto righteousness. All right, anybody have any other thoughts or questions or comments on these verses that we've looked at this morning, or something maybe we've looked at in these verses that have come before? You know, I'm not standing up here just for the sake of hearing my own voice. You know, I want to, we're seeking to understand these things as we go along, and you know, the Lord revealing these things unto us, helping us to see. We may not actually feel sometimes like we're in some of these places that Paul's described, but this is the truth of us if we're in Christ. You know, these are the things that are true about us. According to the Word of God, these things are true about us. So, you know, thankfully we're not saved by our emotions, because a lot of times we don't feel saved. That's our salvation is not bound up in our emotions. Our salvation is bound in Christ. In our union with him, and that's what Paul's been describing to us in this chapter.